So I heard that song a few months ago. We've been playing it at youth a lot, and I sent it to the worship team to learn, but sometimes it doesn't get translated. But it's a great song. It's a great song for whatever storm you're going through. It's a reminder that God has already won. There's nothing to worry about. And I sent it to my father-in-law this weekend. He told me that it's really blessed him this week in his life. So, and it's like my anthem, and it's Christina's anthem right now too. And she's like, "This is my jam. Like, this is my jam." So, like Greg said, my name's Chance Foster, and my father-in-law is Pastor Bob, and I'm married to his beautiful daughter, Jacqueline. And I just want to first give it up to Pastor Bob and Greg for allowing me to speak to y'all today. And it's a privilege to be able to come up here and speak to y'all. And like Greg said, tomorrow is Mother's Day, but today I want to talk to y'all about fathers. And I hope that this message has been on my heart. I said this song, I played it over and over in my mind last night as I tried to lay myself to sleep because the enemy was really trying to attack me to say, "Y'all, this is not the message that you're going to be able to preach, but I know that God put this on my heart to speak to you men today and to be able to really encourage you by bringing this word." So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for just all the men that came here to be here on this rainy, gloomy Saturday, Lord. And we thank you for each one of their hearts that want to be here to serve and to learn and to fellowship with fellow G-men, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just use me as your instrument to be able to speak to these men this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's obvious in our culture and our world today that there's a lack of understanding of how to be a father, especially a good godly father. And the enemy wants to capitalize on that. And Satan knows if he gets in the gap of fatherhood, that he uses this to bring destruction and dysfunction to our lives. But I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stop this. And the G-man here at this church, we can have faith to forgive. And this includes your father, the father that's in your life, and change the trajectory of the future of our children and the futures of the generations to come. And not all fathers are bad, and I don't want to group anybody together this morning, but overall, the image of the father has been messed up by society. Because of society, many fathers don't understand the impact, the influence, and the injury they can cause humanity without being aware of it. So Pastor Bob started a series this past week called Under the Influence. And if you missed last Sunday, I encourage you to go on and listen to it today before he starts part two tomorrow. Because one of his main part of his message was that if we want to get out of bondage, we have to stop holding on to unforgiveness. And I want to address that today in regards to fathers. So in society, we mix up the terms male, men, and father, and we use them interchangeably all the time. But here's my first point, is being male is God's choice, okay? And there's a lot of things going on in this world. Identity crisis is in full effect, but God made you to be a male. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created a man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Realize being a male is God's choice, and being a male is simply physical. And Jacqueline said it before, Pastor Bob said it before, being a male, if you want to know if you're a male, you just got to look down. Right? Cool? Everybody drink. But we have to realize that every male isn't a man. So if being a male is God's choice, being a man is your choice. One of the greatest things God has given us is free will, and we have to make that decision to be a man. In 1 Corinthians, our statement here at the G-Men's Breakfast and on our shirts and everything we have, it says, "Be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong, and let all you do be done in love." So we're taught by society to be strong. But the truth is, the characteristics of a man is being strong, and or is being strong involves being faithful, forgiving, humble, loving, and exercising power under control. Society wants to paint a different kind of picture about men, that it's men that we don't care. And we can just sleep with whoever who we want with, and etc. And the truth is, you're only a man when you do everything in love, just like Greg said. So what is love? Well, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is what men are supposed to be. Totally opposite of what the society is planning in our minds. So if you look at your own life and rate yourself on a 1 to 10 level, think about it. Are you patient? What level are you on that? What, 1 being really bad and 10 being really good. Are you patient? Are you kind? Do you not boast? Is there a pride issue going on in your life? Are you easily angered? This guy right here. There are few men in this world, and majority are just males. Male was God's choice. Man is your choice. But being a male is physical. Being a man is mental. You have to make the choice to be a man. There are a bunch of 68-year-old boys running around this country right now because they never made the decision to become a man. So how do you know if you become a man? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put my childish things away. So if you never choose to be a man, then your default is boy. Boy is by default, but being a man is a decision. Many of us were raised by grown boys who never made the decision to become a man or a man of God. Then by default, they are a boy. And a lot of guys were raised by guys. A lot of guys were raised by guys who didn't want to take responsibility. They may have produced children, but never had the mentality or the heart posture to become a man. They were always a boy. But going deeper, there's a greater level that you can walk in, and that level is as a father. Father is your image duplicated. So, you know, when a male becomes a man but remains a boy but decides to have children, this only duplicates their image. This is why so many issues in society, and there's so many issues in society. There are duplications of an immature man being made into these boys. So basically, boys are fathering boys. So going back to the originator, God the Father, he tells us in Genesis, fathers are supposed to make images. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Because I'm Father God, I want to input my image into man. And that is our job as a father, is to give our image to our kids, okay? So being a boy is by default, being a man is by decision, and being a father is by design. This was God's design for us to give our image to our children. So my kids are my images, or are my image. Some people can say, oh, your kids look exactly like you. You know, Sterling just runs around, he's that smile, or some people say he's little Bob, and some people say that Jackson looks just like me. And that is the least amount of things that I'll be able to give my children is the character, is the visual image of me. But what's more important to me and to God is that I'm putting my healthy characteristics of being a godly man into my children and not just teaching them how to do this and teaching them how to do that, that I'm actually doing things in the Word of God and showing them how a godly man conducts his life. Because when I became a father, it was to put my image into my kids, and not just physically, but everything that is about me will be copied in them, whether I like it or not. The good, the bad, and the ugly. My physical image will be the least impactful thing in their life. The most impactful thing I can show them is show them the love I have for their mother, my boys, my daughter, the love that I have for their mother, and how my spiritual walk is, how I get on my hands and knees and I pray, how I worship on Sunday mornings, how I spend my time and my money, and how I honor God, my spiritual image will affect them eternally. But most guys in our society are simply unaware of this truth. And one of the greatest attacks on humanity is fathers unaware. And Satan uses this to his advantage. And this is his card that he wants to throw out. Because this goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. They never got full affirmation from their father, so they were always trying to one-up each other, and eventually one killed the other. And this still does happen to people today. But fathers are unaware that the impact of everyone they come in contact with. Cool? And this leads to my message. It's called F you. Fathers unaware. You like that? Like the dramatic pause? Yep. Yeah, F you. You know, Jesus said it on the cross. They know not what they do. If males knew the lasting impacts that their actions had on generation after generation, they wouldn't willingly do some of the things that they do. I don't believe that if fathers are aware that their boneheaded decisions would affect their children and their children's children, that they would be doing the same things. But it's a trap of the enemy to make guys think that their decisions or their lack thereof of decisions only affects themselves. How many people know someone like that? That this is, you know, what I do only affects me. It doesn't affect, it is no trickle-down effect. But you're wrong. You are wrong, okay? So it's my prayer by the presence of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit that all the fathers in this room and future fathers in this room will become aware, because I know there are some future fathers in this room. To know how important it is to actually get yourself together and to forgive people, to go through John 10:10. I'm so happy of the people that are actually going through it this time and who have gone through it before, and some people are going back through it again, and that they take the time to do the homework, to shed the tears, to be honest, open, and transparent. Because when you do it, it will transform you and the generations to come behind you. Fathers aware break the cycle. Fathers aware can change the world. But here's the thing that a lot of fathers are unaware, are how affirmation builds security in your kids. How your presence physically is more valuable than presents, your gifts, the things that you buy in the place of your absence. How the act of faith, when people seeing you pray, lift your hands in church, pray out loud, worshiping in the car, is God building a foundation in the other another generation and affecting future generations forever. Fathers unaware that the broken promises can create broken people, and that the perceived perfections that you give your family creates a perverted perception of what reality is. For example, men don't cry. You gotta toughen up. Kids wanna be like their dad. Boys wanna be like their dad. But some of these boys don't realize that dad has issues of his own and that he may not deal with it in front of them. And he seemed to be tough and there wasn't any tears. But behind the scene, he was relieving his stress and his frustration in unhealthy ways. Maybe to go look at that website. Maybe he was drinking, smoking, lashing out at their mother, disappearing to the golf course of the Dearleys, and much more. Perverted perceptions are really just twisted thoughts. Our sons, our children, get twisted thoughts of what a man and a father look like, and that is our fault. Our perception is changing, is twisting the way they think of their father. And I believe that if fathers were more aware, they would have made different decisions. If they made a different decision, it wouldn't have a chain reaction to the generations below them. That they may have put the bottle down, may have quit drinking. Maybe they would have left that woman's bed. That they might have shown up to date nights and dance recitals and football games and told work and hunting it could wait. And I'm a big hunter. Who's a big deer hunter around here? Sometimes that is our escape from reality. And sometimes our children and our families get left behind. Fathers would be more aware that they would get their life right with God so they could lead their family to Christ. If you were aware that the same deviant behaviors that you have would pass down through your kids through four generations, you might take this stuff more seriously. Like, oh wait, this doesn't just affect me, it affects my whole family and my children's children and their children's children. Because if you've been through John 10:10, you can see that there is stuff that comes through the bloodline that could go back from generation to generation before. It could be your great-great-grandfather, and that cycle was never broken off of you, that cord was never cut off you, and you are sitting here dealing with something that someone never took care of 50 years ago. So the other day I was watching this sermon by Michael Todd on this subject, and he talked about how him and his wife have been going to this counselor, right? And in one of the sessions, the counselor pointed out the importance of a father in your life. So she's mentioned that these are the four basic needs that every child needs to have. So you need to be seen, you need to be soothed, and you need to be safe and secure. So the mother in the picture, because you're supposed to be man and wife together to have a child, the mother is in charge, is the seen and soothed. She's the nurturer, right? And then the father is the person that's going to provide safety and security. God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he sent a helper because he knew that man could not do it on his own. That he needed a woman, someone who could nurture and mother them because man can't do it. But what happens is, when a man is either not there, not present in this family's life, or they're a father, but they're not present all the time in the home, they're gone, they're doing other things, then the mother has to do all four things. And that wasn't what God's image was intended for. Because you can't do all four things right, because the mother was never supposed to provide the security and the safety. And the father was never supposed to provide the seen and the soothed. So when you don't have this firm foundation, the enemy can come in and try to corrupt this dynamic duo, because you are a team working together to build this foundation for your children. So he pulls out all the stops to divide them, Satan does. And if he can get one of them out of the equation, it disrupts the solid foundation that their children were meant to stand on and build a life upon. Most people believe that safety and security are the same thing, but safe means I'm going to be all right, and security means that I could fall apart and someone will be there to pick me back up. And that's what your father is supposed to be there to do. So fathers or sons in the room, maybe your father was at home, but he wasn't there emotionally to pick you up when you fell apart. And there was no security there. And it was like, be a man. Suck up those tears. Don't be a sissy. I heard that from my grandfather a lot. And I'm sure my uncles heard it a lot. Real men don't cry. And there are many guys who can't admit when they're wrong because they have never had the security to do so. And then the counselor went on to say how, you know, these important foundations to be seen, to be soothed, to be safe and secure led to the next level, which you will be when as a child matures, they can be assertive, they can be competent, and they can live with purpose. But once any of these foundations that are knocked out from below, it's a ripple effect what goes on top. So if you're not secure, if you're not getting your security and your safety from your father, then you might have a child who doesn't know what their purpose is. You might have a child that's not assertive, that never knows what they want. They're just like, I don't know. Hey, what do you want? I don't know. I don't know. They don't have the confidence to know exactly what they want and have strength and know that this is what I want, this is what I need, and go full forward with what they have. So when the foundations get messed up or one of the form needs are missing, it puts the kid or the growing person on shaky ground, and it disrupts a healthy development, and a dysfunction is a result. So when this all gets messed up and something's knocked out from underneath them because their father wasn't there, the safety or security, then dysfunction happens in this person's development. The truth is that most men are not firing on all four cylinders. But let's be honest, one or more of those foundation pieces were missing or lacking in their development, and therefore we have some dysfunction in our life. And this could be a distorted view of a father. If we don't deal with these dysfunctions and repair the messed up foundation, we end up transferring these patterns to our children. So what is not transformed is transferred. So if you have issues with safety and security and you're trying to overcompensate and do all these things, it now passes down to your children, and then it could pass down from their children to their children. And it says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. So how do we do this? How do we renew our mind and be transformed? The first step is forgiveness. So anybody who's been through John 10:10 over the years or just went through it recently, the first thing that we do, the first thing that Pastor Bob and Tammy do is talk about forgiveness. Because if you hold on to unforgiveness, it's going to completely block you from eating any freedom that you might experience. And once you realize that unforgiveness is a sin, you can experience that freedom. And this, if you just give it all up to God, what guys don't want to do is they don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to go in that room and cry with two other men and say that my dad did this or I never felt this way. They want to stuff it all down inside and not deal with it. So my encouragement for you today is to get open, honest, open, and transparent and deal with father wounds and get free. Because remember, fathers make images. So let's transfer our freedom to our kids instead of our bondage. And the next point is guilty by association. So most fathers are unaware and don't realize that their horizontal unforgiveness, our horizontal unforgiveness affects their vertical forgiveness to Father God. And if you've been through John 10:10, Pastor Bob and Tammy talk about the father ladder and how we view our earthly father directly affects how we view our heavenly father. And basically God has perceived guilty by association. Because I had these issues with my dad and I couldn't forgive my dad and my dad wasn't there, now my perceived image of God is that God is not going to be there for me when I'm struggling, that God's not going to be there when I fall flat on my face. When we never experience the provisions and the security of an earthly father, we find it hard to accept it from our heavenly father. If there's no grace and mercy from your earthly father, you will find it hard to receive grace and mercy from your heavenly father. We find ourselves saying, I believe in God. He's my provider. I trust in him. I trust with him with all my finances and all these things. But to be honest, every time you step out in faith, you have a backup plan for your backup plan. So if God doesn't come through, I still have something in case he doesn't. If he doesn't do it the way I want it to, I can still go in this direction and get what I want accomplished. And one of the examples that came to mind for me is that when we were having Kennedy, our firstborn, Jacqueline wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, no, I think that we need to both be working. You know, we make more money together than we would separate. And, you know, she was really wanting to be a stay-at-home mom. We didn't want to, you know, raise our kids in daycare. So we made the decision to for her to not go back to work after she had Kennedy. She had some severance pay that she was going to use, and she worked like 2 or 3 weeks after she had the baby. Then she came home or after her maternity leave, And then she didn't go back to work. But my thing was that, hey, my backup plan, if I lose my job or something happens with the economy, with my job, then we have your finances, your salary to fall back on. So I wasn't fully trusting in God with all my finances that if something happened that he wouldn't take care of me. But if Jacqueline had her job, then we would still be able to stay afloat. So as we were talking about earlier, if it's not transformed, it will be transferred. If we don't address the horizontal forgiveness, the Bible tells us that we can't be forgiven. That the vertical forgiveness, that's vertical forgiveness from God. And if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. It's that simple. If you want forgiveness from you, you have to forgive others as well. As fathers, we have to teach our children the importance of forgiveness and to not hold on to grudges. But we can't teach what we don't do ourselves because our kids can see it all over us. You can say that you're doing this, but your kid can see you live in a whole different way. They're not stupid. And they might hear what we say, but they will repeat what they say. And they might hear what we say, but they will repeat what they see. And I want to leave a legacy of forgiveness for my children. So a quick story that I have is, you know, we're talking about fathers and having a great father in your life. And I had a great father. My father is still alive. So I have a great father. And he was there for me and my brothers for everything. He was always at our football games, our basketball games. He taught us how to shoot guns. He taught us how to hunt, drive, all the things. And I had these foundational pieces in place. I was seen by my mother. I was soothed by my mother. And I felt secure and safe in my dad. So after graduating college, I found my dream job. And I became a home builder and started building houses. That was the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to drive a truck. Because that's what men do. They drive a truck, and they build houses, and they get dirty, and they drink beer, and they go home, okay? So, amen. That's what I thought, okay? That's what I thought a man was, okay? Yeah. But in 2009, I felt like my life fell apart when the housing market crashed, and I was let go from my job. And I was devastated. But my dad was there to pick me back up, that security portion. I fell apart in his arms. But he was there to hold me and to comfort me and to pick me back up. 26 years old. And he was able to speak life over me that this would just be a season of my life and it wouldn't be the rest of my life. See, this was all before Christ. This was all before I was a true believer. And I had to lean on my earthly father to be my rock. And he was a great one. But even good earthly fathers cannot replace the role of our good, good heavenly father. So fast forward a couple years, I made the best decision of my life. I accepted Jesus into my life. I started getting plugged into and fellowshipping here at the church. And I was blessed, because I was blessed by a great earthly father, I was able to trust in my heavenly father. So this horizontal level that my relationship was awesome with my father here, my earthly father, I was had a great relationship here. When I became a Christ follower and knew who I was in Christ, I had a great relationship with my Father God. And knowing that my earthly father was always there to pick me back up, it was easier for me to know that my heavenly father would be there to remind me that he was with me and he would never leave me or forsake me, and I could trust in him. So I got plugged in and fellowship here at Generations Church. I went through John 10:10. I got married. I started a new job that I knew nothing about. I bought a house. I wasn't on the road anymore. I had some beautiful children, and life was great. And I thought I had complete trust in God. And then I was tested in 2020. See, when the pandemic came, I work as a school photographer. I work for a school photography company. I'm the territory manager here in Austin. And when they shut down the schools right after spring break, I was like, the schools are shut down. What am I going to do? I don't know how long these schools are going to be shut down. I don't know how I'm going to make money. You know, I was really successful in my mind that I was, you know, making a great living, taking care of my family. And how am I going to be able to support my family if the schools don't open back up and this whole world shuts down? And I just began to fail, and I started to go down that path. I began to fall apart, not knowing what to do and how I was going to get through this. But praise God. Sorry, I jumped ahead. So I came home that day from work, and the kids were playing with the neighbors in front of the house. And I came up to Jacqueline and said, I got to talk to you. I'm not feeling good. Let's go upstairs and talk. And I told her, I broke down in tears up in my bedroom. And I said, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to make ends meet? Like, you work here at the church, but, you know, we have all these things. And my commissions are going to be completely wiped out because there's no school. Like, nobody is going to be there to buy pictures if school's not in session. And as my wife, who's a strong believer, said, well, we're going to get through this. And why are you worried? Has God ever failed us before? He got us through your scares when we, you know, my income stopped coming in. And what happened? So when Jacqueline left her job at ARA, within 2 years, when I put my trust fully in God, He blessed my commissions and more than doubled her salary over the next 2 years after she had quit her job. And so she said, you need to get with God and renew your mind. And so praise God, everybody here, praise God for those women, our wives, that don't jump in the pity party with us, but call us out of it. Amen? And vice versa. When they're down, we need to be speaking life and truth into their life. We don't need to be getting down on their level, down on that level, and just join in on the pity part. We need to be building each other up because we are a one. We are in unity. And the devil wants to see y'all both defeated and down, but he cannot defeat with y'all are both at the top of your game and believing in Christ and knowing that God's going to see you through this. So that's what I did. I laid there face down on the floor of my bedroom just crying out to God. How am I going to be able to keep this job working if schools are closed? And in an instant, the Holy Spirit came over me and says, I was there for you back in 2009. I was there for you when Jacqueline quit her job. I was there for you when you thought losing her income would be the end of the world. Remember, you trusted me in that. And what did I do? Like I said, within 2 years, her salary was made up with my commissions because of the blessing that he gave me, not because of my own doings. Because I believed that he would see me through it and he would work through me and not me taking it upon myself and doing it all on my own. So what I did was I repented. I forgave myself and I said sorry to God for ever doubting him because he's never let me go. He's never left my side. Just as my earthly father had, he had to remind me that my heavenly father has also never left me. So guys, we have to watch out for when pride comes in and the thought that creeps in our minds that somehow all of our successes are because of us. Pride comes before the fall, and if we don't address it, if we don't address pride and humble ourselves, God will bring us to our knees. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and the guy was saying, I'm so glad that God puts it on my heart to get down on my knees to handle it before he ever has to strike me down. And that's where I was at that point. I was face down because God put me there. And was like, remember what I did? Do you remember? Because obviously you don't. And whenever I get a big head, like Roger, like we're in sales, Roger's in sales as well. Sometimes in the salesperson, you can be like, look at me. I'm selling all this stuff. And then I'll be driving around like, oh, I did this, I did that. And then God quickly goes, hey, remember? I put you in that situation. I gave you that phone call. That phone call came because I was going to make a blessing to you so that you could bless others. And quickly I go, yep, you're right, you're right, you're right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But so in true Pastor Bob fashion, what is God speaking to you now? Fathers here in the room, are you a good example or are you a stumbling block for your children? Do you want to be that person that drives a wedge between your kids and God? Are you a father unaware? Boys in the room, even grown ones, are you ready to make the decision to become a man? The decision to become a man. so that you can become a good father to your children and your future children. Because let's be honest with ourselves and each other. Have we forgiven our earthly fathers? Have you forgiven your heavenly father? Have you forgiven yourself? Have you asked your kids to forgive you? So I ran this experiment a couple days ago. And I have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 8-year-old, okay? So none of the conversations are too deep yet. But my hope and my prayer is that when I talk to different people, and the reason why I do youth, and the reason why I try to live my life according to God's way, is because when my kids go on to John 10:10 one day, I don't want them being in that room saying that my father was never there, my father never gave me affirmation, my father was never there at my football games or my recitals. I'm going to do my damnedest to be there for whenever my kids need me. And we should do the same, because if they don't feel affirmed, if they don't feel seen, if they don't feel soothed, secure, or safe, everything's going to crumble out before them. So I was asking this question, and the boys are like, oh, it's because you spanked me. I'm like, well, I have to spank you. And I have to. It's discipline. It's biblical. It's biblical, right, PB? So, my daughter, I knew me and my daughter have had some issues, not serious issues, but like I know that there's a little wedge between me and my daughter. And one of the things that I know is that when she was younger, I used to tease her that I was going to leave her mom. Like when we were in the car waiting on her, I'm like, I'm done waiting, because Bob knows that we wait on Jacqueline all the time. And I'm like, we're leaving. Like, I'm tired of being here. And I would be like, let's go. And I'd start pulling out. And she's 4 years old. Like, she's literally taking me seriously that we're just going to leave mommy and she's not going to have any way to get to wherever we're going. And it would seriously scare her. And she brought that up to me the other night, that you used to pretend like you were going to leave mommy. And she'd cry in the car. She'd think that I'd just drive around the block and just come right back. I did it so much. I just thought it was funny. It was his dad just being teasing, just being fun, just throwing little jokes. But that seriously affected our relationship. And I still sometimes feel it today. So the other night I asked her for her forgiveness. And we walked through the forgiveness prayer. And I really feel like we've grown closer just in the past couple days. Jacqueline was gone last week. So I had all the kids to myself for 5 or 6 days. And I got to take Kennedy to school. And when I get to take Kennedy to school, it's just me and her. The boys aren't in there distracting her, and we can just be goofballs. And I don't do any more of the teasing. I can just, press into her and affirm her and tell her how a beautiful a dancer she is and how smart she is and how pretty she is, and let her know that her dad is there for her. And even I'm not really an education person, but I'm her Tuesday night teacher, because we do the teaching, co-teaching on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we had to really bond together, because at first it was a struggle, because I'm not too big of a teacher. I didn't read well in English. You know what I mean? Cool. So dads, we have to check with our kids and our wives and be humble to ask for forgiveness when we fall short or mess up, when we blow up out of anger, or when our jokes hurt feelings like I did with Kennedy. We are teaching our children a pattern of forgiveness that will stick with them for a lifetime. So let's take care of our crap and be transformed by forgiveness and the renewing of our mind, so that we can be free and leave a legacy of freedom for our kids. Like Greg said, we are wanting to leave a legacy for our children, not an inheritance of money and wealth and riches, but a legacy of being able to follow Christ and to live on Christ's principles and to have that firm foundation. So for those in the room who didn't, so I want to address the people here in the room who did not have a good earthly father. Your father was absent or abusive or apathetic, and that wasn't fair. And this is not how it was supposed to go according to God's original plan, but you still have to forgive unfair. It only really hurts you when you don't. So forgive your earthly father so you can let him go, and allow your heavenly father to take the role that he was always meant to have all along. Because the good news is that he is a father to the fatherless. Psalm 68:5, it says, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender to the widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted by Father God into his family. And when we receive, and we will receive an inheritance way better than anything your earthly father could leave us. He is Abba, Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this message that you brought to me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it spoke to the fathers that still have children in their home, Lord, or even when even that they're outside of the home, Lord, that their children are grown adults, Lord, that their children can still see God working through their lives, that they can still be fathers that are providing safety and security and being there for when their children fall apart, and to be there when their children need a word of encouragement, Lord. I pray over each one of these men that are fixing to be future fathers, the young men in this room and the ones who are trying to be fathers, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you instill these traits and that they're known, that this is a healthy way to begin to build that foundation and to know what they need to be as a father when their sons or their daughters come to be in this world, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here with these other G-men, Lord. We thank you for just the rain, like Greg said, and Pastor Bob, we thank you for just filling up the lakes and filling up the rivers, and we thank you for watering the grass for us. And Lord, we just thank you for this time to be together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.